But our lesson today is entitled, things about supporting the congregation. And we have to ask ourselves from time to time, what have I done for the church? What have I done for the body of Christ? We know that whenever we were baptized into Christ, as Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 dictates to us, how that we have had the remission of our sins and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But also in verse 41, there were those who gladly received the word, and they were baptized and added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and doctrine and breaking of bread and in fellowship one with another. But one of the outstanding things about that passage of the Scripture is verse 47. Whenever you come to it, you're reading a passage of Scripture that says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." So it's important to know that I have been added to the body of Christ. And as an addition to that body, it is not something that is a dead portion that I find. I find myself to being alive, being active, and being able to really find myself doing what God has asked me to do. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, has given us some direction in which we need to go as far as our life is concerned. In the verse 14, He tells us there in that passage of Scripture that we are the lights of the world and that a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. And the people do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand where everybody can benefit from the light. In verse 16, we come back and He says, concerning the fact that we should let our light so shine that men might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So it's apparent that you and I have responsibilities to let our light so shine. Everybody would like to try to keep their work secret. But yet at the same time, is that what Scripture is teaching? Scripture is teaching that we should allow our lights to so shine so that men can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So it's not something that is just to be kept under the shadows, but out in the open where all people can see, where all people can benefit from what we're doing as far as serving the true and living God. So you and I have responsibilities to be faced with and responsibilities to say that we're going to follow through. So what have I been doing for the Lord? What have I been doing for His church? Have I been supporting the work that the church is being able to put together? Am I supporting the Bible classes? Am I supporting the preaching times? Am I supporting all the different activities that have been directed for us to follow? Or have I been just humming along, and just saying, well, I think I'll get involved someday, when that someday never does come? We find ourselves needing to be involved as God would have us to be so that we can have that zeal, enthusiasm that we need to have that in the book of Titus, chapter 2, and you begin about verse 11 down through 14, you find out that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, but at the same time, knowing this, that we are a special people, that we are a special people of God, being zealous of good works. And that word zealous is an indicator of an explosive group of people, not people who are just sitting idly by and hoping that things get better, but rather people who are truly involved in such a way is that they create explosions. If you remember back during the time that the disciples were eventually sent out and became apostles as we know them, and as they were sent out to preach the gospel, how that these 12 men were accused of turning the world upside down. Only 12 men. We have a congregation here of 100 people. 100 people can do 10 times as much as the apostles did. If they turn the world upside down one time, we can turn the world upside down 12 times. So we need to make sure that we are about our Father's business and that we're doing the things that we can do to really get going the way things need to be. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, you find a key passage of Scripture there where we find now that the Lord Himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I'm asking myself today, what am I giving to the church? What am I focusing on in the church? What am I being committed to in the church and the work that the church is doing each and every day? Am I backing it? Am I supporting it? Am I doing my part? Am I doing my share? Do I wish and desire to see the body grow as God has intended for it to grow? Then I look at Ephesians chapter 4. And I read there in that passage of Scripture around verse 16 when it says that the body will grow if everyone does its share. So maybe I complain from time to time that the body of Christ is not growing. Maybe I complain to the fact that I say, the numbers are not quite as what I would like to see them. Then ask yourselves, are we doing that which makes the growth come? Am I being committed to the Word of God the way that it should be? Am I committed to doing my share and taking my share of the load? Or rather, do I find myself entering into a retirement program? You know, that's a kind of a bad word as far as I'm concerned, because I was forced into retirement. Yes, that's correct. You say, well, how in the world can you be forced into retirement? Well, just ask the government. You know, that's all you got to do, is ask the government. And they'll say, well, we're not going to give you this any longer, but we're going to force you to go into early retirement. Well, thank you very much. I mean, you know, doesn't help me much as far as other things are concerned, but it sure enough puts you in that early retirement bend where they don't really have to worry about you anymore. And sometimes we find ourselves being categorized as early retirement. And yet to think about that is saying that I am in a position where I'm going to give up. I'm going to surrender. No longer am I going to be involved. I said this in my class, but if you didn't make class this morning, I'll repeat it for your benefit. I was doing some counseling work, and that's what I do now. I'm a counselor and an inspirational author, and I thank a lot of you for buying my books and such as that, because the funds that you give to me out of those books are going for my impending eye surgeries, and that's what's where it all goes to try to pay the doctors their cut, you know. But I'm facing some eye surgery, and your support has been very helpful in that. But at the same time, I want you to understand something, and that is that we all face the challenge of whether or not we are going to continue to be doers of the Word of God, or are we just going to be hearers? Are we just in the position of listening, and no longer are we participating? Are we giving up? And on this occasion, as I was counseling and talking with this man, he was a senior citizen, and he came to me and he said, well, I'm just going to lay off, Brother Holliday. I'm going to cut back. And I said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, well, I'm not going to be involved as far as the men's services are concerned anymore. I'm not going to be leading prayers, not going to be reading the Scripture, not going to be waiting on the Lord's table, not going to be giving devos, not going to be doing nothing but sitting on the pew. So I began to help the man to realize the fact that when did he get a ticket from God that says you can sit on the pew and do nothing? I wanted to know where that ticket was, because I'd like to find one for myself. But it wasn't able to accomplish that, because it's not there. God never said you get a free ticket because you get to be a senior citizen. He didn't say you get a free ticket because, you know, you have all sorts of medical problems. My word, we all have medical problems. I'm sitting up here with a quadruple bypass scar down the middle of my chest. I'm sitting up here with half of my foot cut off on the right side. You know, I'm sitting here with type 2 diabetes, which I have all sorts of trouble with. We're all in a position of where we're sick. And the devil likes that. And he wants to see if we're going to go to God and say, God, can you give me a ticket for the rest of the ride? I'd like to sit on the sideline and enjoy things for a while. God did not give us such a ticket. God says that we must continue to go forward, preach and teach the Word of God. We must continue to go forward and help people come closer to Him. We are to be examples in such a way as that people can see the light and that they can be drawn closer to Him because of the light. We're not giving up. We're not surrendering. The devil wants us to. He wants us to get on the sideline. He wants to make you sick. He wants to make you in such a way as that you can't get around. So we ask ourselves, will we give up? Will we surrender the fight? Hopefully not, because of the fact that we want to continue to be that example that God says that we need to be. I know that the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about let no one, you know, don't let anybody despise your youth. But whenever people used to ask us how, or used to ask somebody how old they were, they'd say, well, I'm 60 or 70 years young. So therefore, I guess this passage of Scripture is going to be for you young people then. Over here in chapter 4, it says this, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in your word, in your conduct, in your love, in your spirit, in your faith, and in your purity. All of a sudden, examples all of a sudden come out in this passage, doesn't it? Be an example to the believers. Who's that? That's us. You are supposed to be an example to me. I'm supposed to be an example to you. I do not see just the concept of age here. I see where it says, let no one despise your youth. I understand that. But at the same time, that's talking about some people that might be just, you know, we're going to disregard you because you're just a young person. But I can see here a message for those of us who are senior citizens too. I can see a message here for individuals who are children of God, who are believers. And it says, to these believers, he says, I want you believers. I want all of you to know that there's a time to be an example. And he says, I want you to be an example in these elements here, in your word, in your conduct, in your love, in your spirit, in your faith, and in your purity. Yes, I can talk the Word of God, can I? I can look up the Word of God and I can share it with those who are around about me. I can make sure that my speech is something that is worthwhile. I can make sure that people follow the true concept of making sure that their speech is something that is holy, that it is something that is righteous, that it is something that is pure. And let ourselves have that purity of life. But there's one thing that I love so much about this passage of the Scripture, and it's the Spirit. That's right. The Spirit. I remember during the days of the competition, back during the football days and basketball days and baseball and softball and all of those days, and the cheerleaders sitting on the sideline cheering you on, and they were saying, we got the Spirit, how about you? To those people who were on the other side of the stands, you know. And they would say, yeah, we got the Spirit. How about you? And what I would like to be able to help us to realize, and that is this. Do we still have the Spirit? When did we lose the Spirit? When did it die? When God says, let's pick it up again. Let's continue to fight the good fight of faith. Let's press on to the battle that is in front of us. Let's confront the devil on his own ground. We're not going to let him win. He may take our feet. He may take our arms. He may take our life. But we'll go down fighting him every step of the way. Why? Because we're going to let his church be victorious. We're going to make sure that the church does not sink in the quicksands of the world. But we shall rather stand strong, stand firm in such a way as to be able to make sure that God shall be praised in the end. And He will say to those who have been battling, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many. Where's the Spirit? Where's the enthusiasm? Where is the excitement in being a child of God? We are warriors of God. And we are set about to do the will of our God. We are set about to fight and defend the faith to the, you know, to the last breath that we draw upon the face of the earth. Until they set me up against a wall and put a bullet through my heart, through my head or whatever, I'll be speaking the Word of God until I go down. I hope that you will be doing the same identical thing. Speaking the Word of God. Being excited about being a part of His church. Supporting the work to the best of your capabilities. Being the example that God intended for you to be. Having the Spirit that will liven things up a little bit. The Spirit that you need to have in following Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, it's interesting to see, be able to see how often we can become depressed. We can become despondent. We can let the things of this world take us down. There's lots of pressures, there's lots of anxieties, there's lots of frustrations out there. But I want you to know something. Hold on to the hand of God, and He'll take you through all of those despairs. Hold on to the hand of God, and He'll lift you up above them and help you fly over them. And then in glory one day, you'll say it was all worth it. I fought that good fight and I kept the faith all the way that I could. So you see, our brethren gave us an example of some things that needed to be. Over in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, under the great persecutions that they were going through, it says that they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Wow. Didn't give up, did they? But rather, they continued in the righteousness of God. They did not surrender, nor would they ever surrender. So you and I must also ask ourselves, where is our heart? Where is our mind? Are they set on things above? Such as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 teaches us, set your mind on things above and not upon the things of the earth. Or maybe going to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Well, we are told not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Because the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things are not of the Father but of the world. And he that doeth them is not going to be able to find eternity. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. But the person that does the will of God, understand, the person that does the will of God shall abide forever. You want to live forever with the Lord? That's right. You fighters, you individuals who are instigators of righteousness, you stand for the Lord. And the might of His Word. You continue to do what God has asked you to do. You continue to fight the good fight of faith. As our Lord has asked us to concede that we know, that we continue to commit ourselves to it. And the reason being is that we know that James teaches us that we need to long for that spiritual word. We need to long for it. Because that engrafted Word is able to save our souls, isn't it? And Paul said so. Receive with meekness. No, James said so. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power unto salvation. To every man who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You and I have a need to be committed. You and I have a need to support the work of the church, the local work and the universal work that we have set about to do. That is to inform people about the will of God. And the reason for that is because those who do the will of God shall inherit eternal life. That's what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So the will of the Father today is for you, if you have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus, is to hear His Word. To believe it enough that you're willing to change your life in a stage of repentance. To turn away from that which is wrong, turn to that which is right. Acknowledging Christ to be the Son of God, a confession made with the mouth before men, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then to be immersed in water, that your sins might be washed away, and that you might arise and walk in a newness of life. Your God wants you to begin the race. And maybe you have already begun the race, but somewhere along the way, you become depressed and despondent, full of anxiety, full of worry, full of all the things that would you go about to try to keep you from finishing your course. And you don't want to do anything. You think you've got a ticket to sit there and idly let things pass by. But wrong you are. God says, I want you soldiers to rise up and to fight the good fight, even to the point of death. I hope that you read that in Revelation 2 and 10. Where the crown of righteousness is waiting for those who are willing to fight even to the death. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation this morning, we invite you to respond as together we stand and as we sing.